from anywhere personally in where I'm listening to. Like, if it's in my headphones, if I couldn't tell you where, like, the instruments are arranged in the thing, I don't really like that. Like, I like verticality in the production. And maybe that's, like, too specific and I'm asking too much from pop music, but I feel like people should be doing that. But I guess he didn't have that, but in a different way, that he's like, I'm actually just putting this here and it's going to sound kind of rough and you're going to sort of feel like you're in the room with me.
Yeah.
Instead of like a hyper polished, almost like narrow band of sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but do you think like pop music would even sound good like that though?
Most of it, no. But also, I don't really listen to a lot
of
that type of music, so I couldn't really tell you.
Yeah, that's
but true. So I'm thinking Sabrina Carpenter, because she's the most poppy that I'll listen to. Because her recent album I was not a big fan of. I listened to it once and I was like, hey, Sabrina, you just missed.
Wow.
That's my hot take. But Espresso? No, what was that album that has Espresso on it? Short and Sweet. I think it's Short and Sweet.
Okay.
I know we shouldn't talk about Sabrina Carpenter here, but like, I don't think her music would stand up to a spacious production.
Yeah.
Because the instrumentation is not exciting.
Wow.
That's my hot take.
Okay. I don't listen to her a lot, but I feel like her instruments are like very different though. They're like very poppy and fun. And like they feel more instrumental than like, actually no, maybe I won't talk about this at all. Let's move on. I don't listen to her enough.
Yeah, we're
out of our depth. We're talking about punk rock. Neither of us are punk rockers. We're talking about Sabrina Carpenter.
But I think we are punk rock in a way. Like, it just feels like, you know, like sticking it to the man.
Mm-hmm. By saying like, oh, you think I'm not punk rock?
Yeah.
What's your problem?
But I think the fact that, first of all, we're in this room makes us more punk rock than not punk rock. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, community radio, I think, is inherently slightly punk rock.
Community radio is, like, what we were talking about earlier with the posters and, like, having a phone number on the poster that you can call. They're, like inherently, like, community radio is, like, it makes your community feel, like, smaller and closer. You know, like, that I'm talking right now, and maybe there's, like, five people out there listening that are, like, you know, like, driving around just, like, tune in by chance. I feel like that's it makes your community feel closer.
And one person might just be fuming. They might be a punk rocker.
Yeah,
like, these guys do not know what they're talking
about.
This is
not punk rock.
Yeah, I know punk rock.
Okay, well then come to SFU, Burnaby campus. Let yourself into the studio and let's talk.
Yeah, get on the mics. We need to know.
Yeah.
I had a thought about punk rock when we're talking about pop music, but now I forgot it. I think it was, it's normally going to be political, I think. It has a political opinion always. There's always some bend to it. And I guess the pop part of it has no political bend. It's just like, this is a fun song.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to it when I'm driving or something. I'm like, oh, that was happy. And I'm kind of grooving.
Mm-hmm.
But punk rock is going to be groovy, potentially. It might just be like a headbanger. But the lyrics are always some like questioning of some system.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing it's not just given to you and you take it and it's like in one ear out the other. Like, you should be like, oh, wow, like, dang, like, that's me. or like, that's, oh, I know that person that it's describing.
Yeah, totally. And that's what's cool, like, they have kind of repetitive lyrics sometimes too, and then you're like, ooh, yeah, I feel that.
But it's not an earworm.
Yeah, no.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, they're not trying to be catchy all the time.
Which, do you really like catchy music?
What's a catchy song?
That Bad Bunny song, DTMF, that song is catchy.
Okay.
I don't know if you know it, but that's like that song, I hear it everywhere and it's catchy.
Do you like it?
It's catchy. It's in my head. But I don't know if I like that. Because I think that when I put on a song, I want to like listen to the song and my experience with that song lasts the duration of the listen.
You don't want it to stick with you?
Not in the way that it's just like I'm walking around and that I'm hearing that like the hook or the chorus over and over again and I'm like singing it to myself.
Yeah. Wait, can we listen to a bit of it? Does that have swearing in it?
Well, no, and it's in Spanish, so.
Okay. Wait, let's listen to a bit.
There's like a, the problem is, there's like one bit, the chorus is really catchy, and the rest of it's like, sort of just like, I don't want to say blasé reggaeton, because it's not, but it's just like chill reggaeton.
I might not even be loading. Oh, wait. Okay, well, listen to it quiet. Let me know when to turn it off.
Yeah, you can maybe skip to like a minute in as well. Yeah. He's just listing people. It's so funny.
Is this the catchy part?
It's coming up.
Okay.
But I mean, it is catchy. I guess he's in my head because he performed at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But this part.
Okay, I see.
Right. And then I'll just walk around and I'm hearing that in my head.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I don't mind that because I think it's like it's fun to be like struck by music when you're not expecting it and you're not listening to music. And it just like comes to your head.
What do you mean struck?
It's like you're just walking around and then all of a sudden like in your head like something reminds you of the song and then you get it stuck in your head.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe that's not the same though as what you're talking about.
Yeah, because that's like a remembering the song. This is, it's just like it's going on.
It's invading you.
Because I think people have studied what sticks in people's brains. I mean, like marketing is basically just like that. And then they make songs that'll do that. But that Astrochan song, like I'll think about that later. Because it has such a unique sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like... Maybe it... Or at least that Bad Bunny doesn't have a feeling to it.
Yeah.
It just sticks. But that Astrochan would have that feeling of like, it's raining and I'm on the SkyTrain.
You know what I'm thinking about right now is I don't think I've had a song stuck in my head for a really long time. And I think it's because I'm like only listening to music like Astrochan or like the Velvet Underground and like just like stuff that's like, it's not made to like... stick in your head as much.
What do you think it's like, I guess, what do you think it's made for then, if not to stick?
I don't know. I think all music, I don't know, it's not even true that all music has to say something.
I think all music does say something.
It all does, but I don't know if that's why they like do it. I think like, I don't know. I see music as like an overflow of the human experience. That might sound really abstract. Does that make sense?
Can you go on? That sounded cool, for one.
I think of it as, well, for one thing, it's like people sing when they're happy. And I think that singing is like, and or just like making music in general is something where it's like, I feel like it's like the most extreme of emotions can come through in music. Even like chill music, it's like the most extreme chill has to be felt in order to make the chill music, because it's like, I don't know how to explain it other than like an overflow of like you're just like feeling it so much that you have to make it. And I guess that's like all art.
Or they felt this emotion once and they, or maybe not once, but they felt this emotion and they're trying to recapture it in sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a symbolic relationship with their own experience or something.
Yeah.
And that's the overflow.
Yeah. And I think that music is the best way to capture emotion. I don't know. Like when you listen to a song, like I feel like you genuinely just like feel that emotion. You know, like I find like I have to like refrain from listening to too much sad music or else like I'll literally like just feel down.
Yeah. Sad music will get you.
Yeah.
More than, yeah. It'll just bring you in.
Yeah.
And then you look around and. You're just sad all the time.
Yeah, because literally.
All you listen to is like heartbreak music.
Yeah.
I'm at that point actually that I listen to heartbreak music or like breakup songs and I'm just not interested.
Wow.
I'm like, girls or guys, like you gotta move on.
Wow. Your prefrontal lobe is like 100% developed. Yeah.
Like, have I healed or is that what that is? But in the same way that I can't listen to, or I guess that I just want a spectrum of my emotional experiences with music, or like intellectual experiences with music, I guess. And maybe that's like, to bring it back to punk rock, or like punk in general, would be like a political song or something that's actually more, like it'll make me think about what I'm listening to, or it'll make me think more than just listen to something.
Mm-hmm.
But that, in that case, I don't know how I would feel about an album, because I don't think I've ever listened to a punk rock album. I've only listened to punk rock songs or punk-ish songs.
Yeah, same.
But I think an album would probably be good, because it's more like a book. Well, actually, I don't even know if that's true.
I find, though, that like punk rock is something where I can't listen to too many in a row. I get like over... It's like over... I don't know.
Like overstimulated?
I get overstimulated, yeah. Yeah.
It's too punk.
Yeah, it's too punk. Yeah. I've always found that like punk rock is really hard to listen to just by yourself. I find that it's something that you can only, or at least for me, I can only enjoy when I'm like going out to a show and it's live. Like I can't enjoy it just like in my kitchen.
It has to be like seen and felt.
Yeah.
And embodied almost.
Yeah. Or also like it's missing a lot.
I get that.
Yeah.
The most punk rock show I've ever been to was kind of just in like a shed. And there was people moshing, and the room was tiny,
yeah.
And I was scared.
What were you scared of?
Just how quickly and how aggressively everyone was moving.
Yeah.
Like it's, I guess like that's the surf rock in me. For me.
Yeah.
And I just thought, yeah, this is, everything about it, from the way the drummer was drumming, the way the bass player was playing the bass. Like at one point his bass on the ground, he was kind of just hitting it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is, I don't know why, but you're doing this and I feel it.
Yeah, no, there's something about punk rock that's very, like, animal. And it kind of, like, it accesses this, like, primal part of everyone there. And it also, like, when you're not fully in that mode with everyone, it can feel scary to watch it happening. Of, like, these people, like, transforming and they're, like, you know, like, yeah, like, punching each other but not really punching each other and, like, shoving each other. Because, yeah, I've partaken in a few mosh pits, and it is, like, I feel like a different person when I'm in it, you know?
How do you feel after?
Like, I'm, like, shaking. It's, like, adrenaline and, like, fight or flight, and, like, I feel like I've just been in a fight.
My God. I've never moshed in my life.
You're too tall. People would be scared.
Also, I think I'd fall over. My center of gravity is too high. I'd just go careening into the crowd.
People would like that, though. That's punk rock. They'd pick you up.
Yeah, they would. They'd pick me up. I was actually at a show the other day. It was like a jazz. It was weird. There was jazz and screamo going on at the same time. It felt punk. Like, it in the way that it was like, we're doing this, and you're going to watch, and you're going to think, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, you know, dumbstruck the whole time. Or I guess awestruck is a better word. And at one point, someone was crowd surfing for about 2.5 to 3 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Which I've never seen anyone crowd surf for longer than 15 seconds. It was they were just up there forever.
Wow.
And that felt, I was like, yeah, this is a community right now.
Exactly.
People are not letting you fall down.
Yeah.
The security guards were like sort of trying to get them off. But it was pretty, it was at the Rickshaw. So
Rickshaw Theater.
Yeah. Shout out the Rickshaw.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Here, I'm gonna put on another, maybe like our second to last song, just so for timing. Let's see. I have many options because we have talked aplenty. There's like some secret songs you guys will not get to hear today. And I think I want to play, I like this song a lot, Dead Horse by Ribbon Skirt. This is like definitively punk rock. This is Indigenous band and Canadian band too. And just very beautiful, very, I love the anger in her voice. So yeah, enjoy Dead Horse by Ribbon Skirt.
stop someone from wanting more and more. Sit down, calm down, breathe in, breathe out. And there's no reason, it's just a feeling I believe in. Set the scene, light the candles, break it down again. And there's no reason, it's just a feeling I believe in. Set the scene, light the candles, break Unlimited Canada works with landowners and other conservation-minded partners to improve outcomes for communities and wildlife. Supporting vital ecosystems which contribute to water quality and quantity, soil health, support agriculture and economy, mitigate severe weather events, and provide opportunities for recreational access to nature. Together, we are unlimited. Learn more about programs and partnerships at ducks.ca.
You are listening to CGSF 90.1 FM with Katie's Open Mic with Grayson as the guest star. And we were just listening. We were just listening to Ribbon Skirt by Dead Horse, which is a really very cool song. And shout out to Ducks Unlimited. How are you, Grayson?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
We were just talking between our talking. We're talking about like irony and how we use that to like protect ourselves. And we had a disagreement about whether punk rock is ironic or not. What do you think?
It feels to me as extremely authentic.
Yeah.
It's just like asserting yourself in a space, plus like we said earlier, possibly to the detriment of others, but always to the benefit of yourself. And mm-hmm. I feel like that can't be ironic.
Yeah.
But maybe I don't understand irony enough, or I just like think that these people are really cool, and I think that there's no way they can be doing it ironically.
No, I think you're right. Like, yeah, like punk rock itself is not ironic, but I think there's a way that like... just, like, their delivery can be ironic. I think there's a lot of, like, humor in punk rock.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's what makes it so awesome.
Like, tongue-in-cheek, you mean? Or,
yeah.
Like, where... Maybe I don't really know what irony is. Like, where... How would it be ironic?
I just feel like... I'm just meaning, like, in the lyrics and stuff, when they're, like, making fun of things and, like...
Yeah. Like, oh, like they're embodying something, and that's like an ironic embodiment or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, okay. Like kind of like what we were talking about earlier, like playing pretend and humor and
oh yeah, that is punk rock.
Yeah.
Man, I think I rely a lot on irony. I guess that's what you were saying. You said that you hated it because you rely too much on it.
Yeah, I guess I'll say what I was talking to you about. I've been wanting to like perform open mic soon, and because I like to sing and play guitar, but I feel like I can't stop singing in a kind of ironic way because it's like it kind of protects yourself, but then it's also like. It's, like, so cheap and, like, so not cool to be ironic, especially, like, at an open mic where it's, like, everyone's putting themselves out there and, like, being authentic and genuine, and then I'm just here, like, singing in this, like, goofy little way, like, just, like, feeling embarrassed about myself, and I think that's, like, really lame.
But maybe you are just goofy.
That's the thing.
And that's how you sing.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know, like, because maybe you're just worried about being ironic. Even though, like, you're just putting the irony on top of what you're doing, and it doesn't actually change what you're doing. Because, like, I would love to be serious, but I cannot be serious ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And it feels like if I were to be genuinely serious, it would be ironic seriousness.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be genuine at that point.
You're right.
Not that I would ever sing at an open mic because I don't play any instruments and I don't really sing. But if I were to do something like that, it would have to be goofy. Because that's just how I would do it.
Yeah. I just like, sometimes like, I just feel so bad being the goofy person.
But it's so necessary. Like, someone has to do it.
Yeah.
Why do you feel bad?
Because... Like, I feel like it makes it seem like I'm not fully, like showing myself and, like, being vulnerable. But also being goofy is a little bit vulnerable. Laughing is vulnerable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, saying a silly joke.
Yeah.
It's not vulnerable in the way that you're not, like, exposing yourself emotionally. But I think that that's not always necessary, at least for the crowd. Like, I think that... I personally would not want to expose myself emotionally to a crowd because that's not an authentic way that I emotionally communicate.
Yeah.
And so it's more authentic to me and less and maybe more vulnerable to be actually goofy and show my actual personality, which is goofiness.
Yeah, than just like trying to be serious.
But it doesn't feel as cool. Like if someone goes up and performs like really emotionally heavy poetry, like damn, like you're an artist.
Yeah.
But if you go up and you just crack wise for about like 5 minutes, it doesn't feel the same, you know?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, because we were talking about that last time we talked about the difference between like someone telling you you're funny versus someone telling you you're kind. And just how much better that feels when someone tells you you're kind. And I think that's just an interesting thing to balance. I don't know. I don't have any point to that.
But I think that's because we've both been told that we're funny probably more than we're told that we're kind.
Yeah.
And someone who's very, very kind is like, man, I just want to be funny one time. Well, I know I'm kind. Like, come on, guys.
Oh, my God. You're right. Well, kind people, we're jealous of you and we love you. But lately I've been actually practicing kindness in my New Year's resolution, but in like doing it in my own way, I guess kind of like what we were talking about, where it's like I'm still equally as mean as I ever was, but I'm just sprinkling some kindness on top. And I think that's the way to go, where it's like I'm just like trying to like do things where it's like I already feel in my heart that like I feel kind things in my heart, I just don't say it, so now I'm like saying it more, but I'm still being mean, and I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. I get that. Well, I think a big change is, do you hide that kindness under irony?
Honestly, a little bit.
Yeah, that's got to change. And I'm right there with you. So, you know.
That's really upsetting, because how do I change that? We have like 1 minute left.
How do you change that?
Fix me in 1 minute.
I'm trying to start saying I appreciate you.
I say that a lot too, but I say it ironically. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I appreciate
and
you.
I try to just say no, I appreciate you. Mm. And then like, and just going from there, or like thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
And okay. Yeah, which is like so bare minimum and like bad that this is an accomplishment because I think it makes us sound so like self-centered.
No.
But, like, feeling this appreciation and then expressing it is really hard for, I think, some people who especially use humor, like, as a mask or just, like, are always being silly and funny.
Yeah. Well, there's so much more to say about that, but we do have to go. Next up is Department Uno with Connor. This has been Katie's open mic with Grayson. And I'm going to leave you with Staring by Golam. This is punk rock in the way of just thinking and giving yourself time to think and process. And I feel like that's very punk rock, because what are you going to do if you don't do that?